if we could turn in our Bibles to the Psalm 31 for another scripture reading today, to the 31st Psalm. We're going to read from the first verse of the chapter. The Psalm 31, beginning our reading at the verse 1. Psalm 31, beginning at verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard thine vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was reproached among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance, that they did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side when they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Can we stand for a moment's prayer afresh? Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come to thee in our Saviour's precious name afresh. We thank thee for the opportunity of meeting with thee, and we pray that thy truth and the blessings of thy word might be upon us as we consider thy word today. We thank thee that we come to the mighty God of truth, and we look to thee for thy grace and mercy today, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Would you look at with me at the end of verse 5 of the Psalm 31, and you have a title of the Lord there. He says in the verse, "And into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." The Lord God of truth. 2017. And the headline said that we're in a post-truth world with eroding trust in accountability. It can't end well. And the article went on to lament how people no longer believe in the experts and those with qualifications. And of course, people have very good reason today to doubt the word of the so-called experts, because in many fields they are getting it so wrong. But we won't go into that today. But what I want you to notice is the phrase that we live in a post-truth world. And then there's another phrase that has come very much into prominence in recent years, and that is the phrase fake news. It's a word that has been, or a phrase that has been used by President Donald Trump very often to describe the way that the media do their stories. And it is a phrase, again, that has resonated with many people, because we have a grave suspicion that large sections of the media are furthering their own agenda, and they have a bias, a left-wing bias, and there's a grave suspicion that we're not being told all the truth. And then we are living in a day when there is what is called post-modernism. And one of the tenets of that philosophy is that there is no objective truth. There is no absolute truth. And we determine what is real or what is true from within ourselves. And what may be true for you may not be true for me. And this has pervaded through the universities. And so you have the modern dogma that there's no such thing as a man or a woman, that you can be anything that you believe yourself to be. And this nonsense has come out of the philosophy that says that there is no objective truth. So you can be anything that you want to be. You can believe anything that you want to believe, because there is no objective truth. But I want you to see that the Bible is a very different philosophy or theology. Because in the Bible we're told that there is truth. That there is an objective, an absolute truth. Do you remember how the Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? Do you remember how that just before the death sentence was passed upon the Lord Jesus, that Pontius Pilate questioned him? And in John chapter 18 and verse 37, the question is, "Art thou a king then?" And the Lord answered, it says, Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So the Lord said, "I am come to be a witness of the truth." And he said, "Those that, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And we want to hear his voice today. We want to hear the voice of the one who came to be our Redeemer and our Savior. We want to hear the voice of the one who healed and did so much good in his life. We want to hear the truth of the one who died on the center cross of Calvary, who rose from the dead, ascended up into heaven, and is on the right hand of the Father. We certainly want to hear this truth. We read in 1 John 5 and 20 how it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding, that we may know him who is true." We read in John 17 and 3 that he is the only true God. Or we think of what Moses said in Deuteronomy 32 and 4. "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he." So he is the God of reliability, he's the God of truthfulness, he's the God of veracity. And in a day when we don't know what to believe, when there are so many scams, when there are so many people telling us lies, and when we don't really trust anything that people, and we don't know what to believe, even in the midst of the pandemic and in the midst of the calls We don't know what to believe. We don't know who to believe. We don't know whether they're telling us the truth. It's good to know that there's a God of truth. There's a good to know that there's a standard that we can trust in and a God that we can believe. So I want us just to think today for a few minutes about the God of truth. And first of all, I want you to see the actuality of the truth. I want you to think again about what Pontius Pilate said to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember how he asked him, "Art thou a king then?" And we said that the Lord said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." But I want you to see that at the mention of the truth, Pontius Pilate asked a question that is very much a modern question. He said, "What is truth?" He didn't say, "What is the truth?" He wasn't searching to find out what actually was taking place or what actually was happening. But he asked a very 21st century question. He asked, "What is truth?" It is very like the question that the answer to the question, you remember when Prince Charles was engaged to Lady Diana. You remember how he was asked, did he love her? And his answer was, "What is love?" Now, it is very much the same kind of question that Pilate, or reference that he is making here. There is a cynicism. Pilate was a cynic about these things. He's really saying, who can tell me what is truth? Does truth really exist? Is there really any truth? And truth to men like Pilate is whatever a person thinks is true. And there is that popular ethic today that we have. You know, sometimes it becomes humorous if it wasn't so serious. You know, the New York Times, a number of years ago, they caught out one of their reporters, and he was really putting his own spin upon things. He was plagiarizing really what he was writing, and he was putting it off as his own work. And this reporter got sacked. His name was Blair, Mr. Blair. He got sacked, and the New York Times said, "Mr. Blair violated a cardinal tenet of journalism, which is simply truth." And of course, that is right. The tenet of journalism should be truth. But the thing was that for years, the New York Times had been lecturing people, and particularly Christians, that there was no such thing as real truth. There is no absolute truth. That it's all a series of grades. And you see, they got caught up on the web of their own deceit. And they were saying, there are no moral absolutes. And they knew, when it came to it, that there had to be a moral absolute. That there had to be truth. And you know, the Christian believes in truth. The Lord said here, he makes it crystal clear, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." The Lord here believes in absolute truth. We live in a world which has gone away from those things. And even sometimes God's people have been infected by this new point of view of things. And whether we like it or not, whether you have been affected, I have been affected by it. There was a book written by a man by the name of David Wales a number of years ago, and it was about evangelicalism. He said, "No place for," this was the title of the book, "No Place for Truth, Whatever Happened to Evangelical Theology." And you know, there was a survey done 20 years ago, and 20 years ago it found that 67% of American adults believed that there was no such thing as absolute truth. Now, the worrying thing was that 52% of evangelicals, those that professed to be born again, said there was no such thing as absolute truth. How can that happen? Another survey, even more worryingly, said that 75% of those who said they were born again Christians said that they could not accept anything as absolute truth. You see, dear child of God, if there's no absolute truth, then that Bible is not absolutely true. And we have to recognize that there is a standard. You try, and I know that this is hard to grasp, but you try to define truth without reference to a higher truth, without reference to a law that is beyond us. It's one of the great the proofs of God that there is a standard. There is something that we hold on to. It is one of the great things that indicates that there is a law. But, dear friend, if we come to the fundamental point, you know, people say today, well, I believe in science. Well, the thing is that science cannot answer the fundamental questions. Science cannot answer, who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? It cannot answer those questions whatsoever. Dear friend, we need something to rely on. And the dilemma facing society and civilization today is that if there's no truth, then we can believe anything. And that's what men and women are turning to. They're believing anything today. They're turning away from that which is true, which is God's precious word. But I want you to see just now the actuality of truth. There is a truth. It is embodied in our God, and it is embodied in his precious word. If there is no truth, then anything goes. But not only do I want you to think about the actuality of truth, but I want you to think about what I'm going to call the activator of truth. Where does this truth come from? Well, the truth ultimately comes from God, because he is the Lord God of truth. And I want you to see that he is truth in his person. He's not someone who does truth, but he is truth. And he is the fount of truth. And I know that we might get it hard to grasp, but we recognize that he is the absolute standard. We judge everything by his standard. We judge everything by who he is. And he is the eternal reality. He is the one who has given us his precious word. He is the one that has brought us all things. He is the true God without deceit. And it is God from whom truth proceeds. Otherwise, as we say, where does truth come from? Where is the standard? Where is the ultimate standard that we judge truth by? If there's not someone that is high above everything that gives us the standards of truth, it comes from a person. It comes from God above. So there is truth in his person. There's also truth in his promises. The Bible says he is faithful that promised. And the God of truth is the God of faithfulness. And the Bible speaks about God's faithfulness in superlative terms, in high terms. It says in Psalm 36 and 5, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. So God's truth stands in every promise that he has made. You know, we can't trust the politicians, most of them. We can't trust the governments. We can't trust the elements of society. But if we come to God, we can trust him. He has promised that he'll be with us always, even unto the end of the world. He has promised that if we come to him, he will in no wise cast us out. He has promised, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And thank God that our God is a God who answers everyone, who keeps his promises. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And he says, although my house be not so. And he's really saying, oh, although I have failed, though I, David, have not done all that you wanted me to, but you've never failed. I failed, but you've never failed. The promise of God is greater than the laws of the Medes and Persians. God says, I will not suffer my faithfulness to fail. And thank God today that God's word is true. God's word is true about his love. God loves us with an everlasting love. He says that if we turn to him, then he will enfold us in his love and in his mercy. God's word is true not only about his love but about his judgment. He warned his people, flee from the wrath to come. And God is angry with the wicked. It says in Matthew 12 and 36, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. We're saying that God's promises are true. And the promises about judgment, they're true. And dear friend, you're not saved today. You need to face the fact that this is the God of truth. And what he has said will come to pass, will come to pass. He's the God who is true about repentance. The Bible says in Luke 13 and 1, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Have you repented? Has there been a repentance that makes a change in your heart, in your life? Have you changed your way of living? Have you changed the way that you are? Dear friend, outside of Christ, you're dead in trespasses and in sins. And God's word is true. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God's word is true about conversion. Except ye be converted and become as little children, he says, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he's telling people that we need to come to God. Some people enter into the kingdom of God head first. They want to understand and comprehend it all. But we come heart first. We come that God might cleanse our hearts. But not only do I want you to see here the actuality of truth and the activator of truth, but I want you to see something about the after effect of truth. You see, if God is a God of truth, it'll mean something to you and to me. It affects, if we are followers of him, then if we are following the God of truth, then it's going to be reflected in our lives. And it's going to be that our words are going to be true. We've got to be true in our words. A minister one time noticed a group of boys standing around a small stray dog. And the minister asked the boys, what are you doing? Well, they said, we're telling lies, said one of the boys. And the one who gets the one who tells the biggest lies gets the dog. The minister was shocked. He said, why, when I was at your age, he said, I never thought about telling a lie. And the boys looked at him kind of nonplussed and a little crestfallen. And they said, finally shrugging their shoulders, they said, I guess he wins the dog. Because he perhaps was the biggest liar of them all. You know, we need to be careful about what we say. If you look in the entire Bible, and it's plain that we need to be truthful. It says in Psalm 119, verse 163, I hate and abhor lying. Again in Proverbs 12 and 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that do truly are his delight. We're told in Proverbs 13 and 15, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. It says, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. We need to make sure that we're not liars. The University of Massachusetts did a study about lying, and it found that 60% of people cannot speak for 10 minutes without telling a lie. Now, we need that honesty amongst God's people. We need to be a people who are not caught out in lies in any way. Not only in our words, but in our actions. We're not to be hypocritical in our actions. The Bible speaks about those who were, particularly the Pharisees and the scribes, who went into the streets and into the, and they were hypocritical in their service of God. We can't be hypocritical, but the Bible says, "Lie not one to another, neither by your words or by your deeds." The Bible speaks of the devil that he's a liar and the father of it. We deceived our first parents in the Garden of Eden. Dear friend, if we are going to be liars, then the Bible warns us in Revelation 22 and 52, or 15 rather, "Without your gods and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." God's people are not liars in our words or in our deeds. We are going to be those who do the truth. But there's one more thing that I want you to see. Not only do we see the actuality of the truth, and not only do we see the activator of the truth, and we see the after effect of the truth, but I want you to see the attraction of the truth. You see, without the truth, we're going to be slaves to the hunches and the feelings and the trends and the fashions of the day in which we live. The Lord said that the truth shall set you free. He said, "I am the truth." He says that his word is truth. And this word comes to set us free and to give us that freedom that we know what the truth is. And we think of the Old Testament prophets. And they came and they said, "Thus saith the Lord." They came with the word of truth. They said, "It is written." We read how the Lord said, "It is written, I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, that the scripture cannot be broken." He said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away." He said, "Do ye not therefore hear, because ye know not the scriptures. Thy word is truth." And we recognize the truth of God's precious word. And what an attraction it is to us in a day that's filled with lies, and a day that's filled with deceit, and a day when we are so often scammed, and there's so much that is fake. We need something that we can stand upon. We need something that we can rely upon. We can't rely on the word of man, because man is biased, and man has his own agenda, and man has his own thoughts about things, and man has his own way of going. We need absolute truth. We don't need something to stand upon. And dear sinner, today I say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that you can stand upon. People don't know what to believe today. They're told this is true and that is true, and this completely contradicts that, and we don't know where we're going or who to believe. Let me tell you who you believe. You believe God in his precious word. Because the Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. And one of the things that's got to attract us in these days of lies and deceit and spin is that here we have the truth. And if you want truth, God has given it to us in his precious word. You know, there were things that God said to John on the Isle of Patmos. Don't write that. Don't write that. Let that thing be seen. And he prevented him from writing some things. God has things that are sealed up.
But what he has given us is the truth that we need to know. And he's endorsed the scriptures. And he says, the truth shall make you free. So let's live in that freedom. Let's live in the light of what God has given us. And let's rejoice today that we serve the Lord God of truth. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come to thee in our Saviour's precious name afresh today. And we thank thee that we serve the Lord God of truth. In a day of lies and spin and fake news, we thank thee that thou art true. And we bless thee that what thou hast said to us is true. And we can stand upon it where we don't know what to stand on, what to believe, what is true and what is not true. We thank thee that we have an objective truth that has been set before us. And we pray that men and women may come to that truth today. When people are confused, when people don't know where to go or what to believe, we pray, Lord, that we might stand on the truth that makes us free. Bless thy word. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing now. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us and be with us. For it is in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.